The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Totally Terrific Thursday, as we dive into the scariest portion of Ephesians dealing with submission and husbands and wives. Uh-oh. Remember, I don't care if the world approves, because we only care if God approves. First up, there is an inescapable requirement for all of us to submit to all of us. That's number one. Number two, next up's the responsibilities of the husband. What are those? What are the responsibilities of the wives? Yes, men and women only. That's right, marriage between a man and a woman. And how close or how far off are we? And finally, is there a valid argument against Christians trying to exercise their rights in every situation? The answer may surprise you.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? The best way to get a hold of us is to text. That's just the best way. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. If you've got some thoughts, if you've got some things you want to share, a prayer request, perhaps a praise report, any of that stuff, totally in your hands, okay? You can also call 972-445-0770. Tiara is right there. She's standing over the phone waiting, okay? Like ninja-like. Ready for the phone to ring if you want to call 972-445-0770. I will also tell you that today we're going to be doing our Facebook feature. So we're live on Facebook. So if you want to, you can probably use the little IM thing on the Facebook as well. Let's just test and see who's listening and what they're thinking. We're still in the Book of Acts on some of our trivia. How many people were baptized after they received Jesus Christ, after Peter's message on the day of Pentecost? How many people were baptized in one day? How many people believed and were baptized in one day? One day. One day. Wow. Think about that. If you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, anything is pretty much open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I think we've determined that. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to tell you, so much to get to. Let's deal with what I consider to be one of the most important things. You will not understand this the same way that perhaps my brother would understand this, but today is National Brisket Day. My mom, God bless her, made the greatest brisket ever. She was fantastic at brisket making. She could not make anything else to save her life. But brisket, brisket, oh, that was just so delightful. So my mom was the best brisket maker I ever encountered in life. Also, today is National Hamburger Day, and we support that wholeheartedly. That's kind of an important thing. For those that do not know, there were some very cool things that happened on this day. I'm not saying this first thing is cool, but I'm saying it's interesting. In 1959, on this day, the first monkey to survive a space flight, the U.S. launched two monkeys, Abel and Baker, into space, and they both were recovered alive, just in case you wanted to know. In 1492 on this day, Christopher Columbus landed in Cuba. In 1868 on this day, Thomas Edison applied for his first patent, the electrical vote recorder. Interesting. 1886, the Statue of Liberty is dedicated in New York Harbor. This also fascinating. In 585 BC, there was something called the Battle of the Eclipse. It was the battle between the Medes and the Lydians, and it was called off when both armies were frightened by the eclipse of the sun, and then they negotiated a peace agreement ending a six-year war. You see, it's not just trivia facts. It's absolutely bizarre. Unbelievable, you'll never use it, trivia facts. It's all of that. All right. We're going to get into our text. Please don't forget, DNA, our DNA as Christians, draw closer to the Lord. That's the D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready, right? D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. That's the DNA for Christians. That's what we're built out of. Let's get into the text. Most people are going to have a very difficult time with some of the things I'm about to share because we're talking about husbands, wives, submission, and the whole process in Christianity in Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Let's start off right off the bat. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should also submit to their husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Let's just start with verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The basic principle of Christian submission that governs the community life of the church applies to social relationships. Paul is going to show how they transform us when we're controlled by obedience to Christ. In Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, he deals with wives and husbands. In 6, 1 through 4, he talks about children and parents. And in 6, 5 through 9, he talks about slaves and masters. These are the three segments that he talks about in walking in this idea of surrender. The word surrender is hyptasso. I'm pretty close on that one. Hyptasso has to do with yielding. It has to do with surrendering. Now, here's the first thing. Before this whole segment goes on, and you've got a husband saying one thing and wife saying another, everybody can just be quiet because we can walk into the introductory scripture to the whole context below. And what does it say? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, do you submit to somebody when that person is doing something ungodly and they want you to do something ungodly? No. I mean, you obey the Lord before man, always. But there is a principle of service and a principle of yielding. That does not mean that you let the person that you are yielding to abuse you. It does not mean you let that person take advantage of you. That doesn't mean any of that. What it means is that you're willingly serving because of your consciousness towards God, and you're aware that because of that consciousness towards God, you're trying to reflect some of that same exact attitude in your connection with people. You're trying to display that as God would ask you to. Here's the thing. The thing is, what is it in a person that says, I will never submit to another person? What do you think that is? What's the principle in life where a person says, I will never submit to anybody? Nobody rules over me. Well, first of all, just in case you didn't know this, you either serve God or sin. So you're serving somebody. You might not like Bob Dylan, and he might not have stayed in the faith. Who knows what he did? But the bottom line, his song was right. You might serve the devil, you might serve the Lord. You're going to serve somebody one way or another. If you're a servant of sin, then you're a servant of sin. If you're a servant of the Lord, you're a servant of the Lord. If you're a servant of the enemy, you're serving somebody whether you like it or not. No, I'm not, Dave. I'm an American. Nobody tells me what to do. I stand strong. I bow to nobody. Every being, heavenly earthly and demonic, at some point will bow the knee to Jesus Christ and acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No exception. And the one thing that I would like to say that really is applicable is the reason that people go, I bow to nobody. I submit to nobody. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. It's all pride. And pride will get you in a lot of trouble with God. Would you like an example? Nebuchadnezzar walked around with quite a bit of pride. God turned him into a cow. Do you want to be a cow? You want your nickname to be Elsie? I mean, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we are to surrender to one another because our surrendering to God takes the priority. That's what we do first. And then we yield and support and strengthen one another and lift up one another. You should not seek to be the king of every situation and of every person you engage. There's something wrong with that spirit. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, took on the form of a human being, came down, watch this, came down, selected these 12 guys to go with him, one of which he knew was going to betray him. He knew it. And what did he do before he fully sacrificed himself? He washed the disciples' feet. That's called service. That's called yielding. That's called servitude. Well, I would never do that. Well, then you will probably never be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, how can you say that? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. It's not, don't get mad at me. I didn't write this book. All my stuff's at least 2,000 years old. I mean, come on. And the attitude there that, and this is going to rub people the wrong way. Wait, we get to the next section. You think this is tough? That's nothing. When we get in the next section, you're going to be going, oh my goodness, why? Because there's this attitude that we've developed that tells us that we have these entitlements. And it's like, look, in the kingdom of God, you know you're living when you die to yourself. You know that you're getting when you give. You know that you're seeing when you believe. All the things that God does in the kingdom are opposites to what you would think they would be. You, in order to live, you got to die. In order to see, you got to believe. In order to receive, you got to give. And it's no different in this principle. In order to be honored by the Lord, you have to serve. Before honor, the Bible says in Proverbs, is humility. That's the way it goes. Okay, the answer to the trivia question, and then we'll break out the answer for the trivia question. How many people were baptized in one day? About 3,000. Is what the scripture says. Can you imagine the logistical nightmare of that? Wow. I just don't even want to think about it. 3,000 new people in your church in one day. From 120 to 3,120. Yikes. All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay, just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things to inform you of. I want to give a shout out to our ministry partners, which is Kimberly Ellis, who I talked to today, Clint at Mr. Restore, Johnny Hill at Men of God Moving. These are all great people. They do great work. If you have any need for restoration services, if you have any need for real estate help, if you have any need for somebody moving you, get in touch with them. You can do that by going directly to our website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. There's a link there that can get you to them. Also, and we're not going to hesitate to tell you this, we're on the 20th. This is the 28th, right? It's the 20th. Today's 28th, yeah? Okay, just making sure. Today's the 28th, and we've got 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. And if you're a person that's inclined to give or to support the ministry financially, we could use your help. That's just as simple as it gets. You go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, right about a third of the way down. There's a place where you can give. All giving is greatly appreciated. If you can't give, don't guilt. Just pray for us. Just make that commitment. Hey, I can't give, but I'll pray for you guys. Good enough for me. I'll take it. I'll take anything that brings our petition, our needs, our functioning in our ministry before the Lord and asks for the Lord's blessing. So all you ever need is God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's kind of a, just leave it there. Okay. Good enough. I do want to let you know if you want to reach out to the show, 214-210-8483 is the text. You can also call. I don't mean to discourage calling, so I'm trying to figure out the balance. I don't know how to quite do that yet, but you are welcome to call. I like taking calls. In fact, when we started doing the calls, we had somebody call two times in a row. That's fantastic. I love that. Our number here is 972-445-0770. It's 972-445-0770. All right, and the text, 214-210-8483. Next trivia question. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 went up to the temple at the time of prayer. What time was that? According to how we keep time, what time was that? Peter and John went up to the temple to pray at the time of prayer, Acts chapter 3. What time was that? If you know the answer, text it in, 214-210-8483, or call it in, 972-445-0770. Let's get to our text. We don't shy, as you can see, one of the titles that we have on today's broadcast is "The Bible Breaks for No Virus." I'm just saying, that's not virus, no virus. God's not changing. The word's not changing. Cultures change. People change. Kingdoms change. The truth doesn't change. Okay? Just so you can know, 2 plus 2 is still 4. All right, let's look at the wives section, verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. First of all, when it says the phrase everything, it doesn't mean everything like when you go out to dinner and your husband says, you should eat a hot dog because I said so. That's not what it's talking about, folks. Everything has to do with everything that has rightness or appropriateness to it, and you liking a hot dog versus a hamburger does not qualify, okay? Number two, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. You know what it doesn't say? You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say, husbands, tell your wives to submit. You see, this is the thing that can drive a guy like me bonkers. Just absolutely like... Here's what it says. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, hey, let me read the rest of it. Look, it doesn't say anywhere. Husbands, tell your wives to submit. Husbands, make your wives to submit. It's the wife's decision if she's yielding or not, whether husbands like it or not. It's a conscious decision that a wife makes in every situation. In our situation, Noelle and I have a very, I think it's a pretty healthy, not perfect marriage, but pretty healthy marriage. There are certain items that I am in charge of, and there are certain items that she is in charge of. When it has to do with safety, she'll tend to lean my direction and let me lead. When it has to do with wisdom in the house and how things should be and how we should approach things, it tends to be her. It just depends on what it is that we're dealing with, and we pretty much operate 50.001 and 49.099 kind of thing in everything. If we're that far apart and we can't find agreement, we don't do it. But that's us. That's how we function it. But it does say, wives, surrender, yield. In essence, this is a voluntary position, and it's not one of superiority. And that's the thing the world cannot escape. What it thinks is that everybody who's a billionaire is superior to everybody who's a millionaire, who's superior to everybody that's not a millionaire. And that's just flesh thinking, human thinking. Let me say it really nice. Stupid thinking. If you think that way, then you think that way of Jesus. Uh-oh. What? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus humbled himself in his position and became a man. To think that a woman who is with a man, a husband and a wife, that when she yields to him, that's ridicule for her, is to ridicule Jesus Christ. You better be careful. That's territory you want to be very careful about. Listen, this decision for a wife to submit to her husband, to yield to his direction, is an individual decision that she must make accordingly by scripture. If the husband is asking her to yield to something that has nothing to do with righteousness, there's no application. Doesn't work. And so this is a team effort. And Paul is simply saying, look, we submit to one another in the leadership in the home. Wives, yield to your husband. And to do so, now watch this caveat. Watch this caveat. As the church submits to Christ, so the wives should submit to their husbands. Hey, here's one for you. How good is the church submitting to Jesus? Somewhat, maybe. So most of the time, I guess, kind of. This is the thing that people just go right by this. It's like as much as the husband is yielding to the Lord and as much as the church is submitting to Jesus Christ, that's what you got in play. How much is the church submitting to Jesus? Mostly. Not entirely. be funny if you thought entirely. I think that would be weird. But I think it's interesting that it points it out in the passage. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so the wives should submit to their husbands. Therefore, you should be able to look at how the church submits to Jesus and evaluate that and go, well, you know, something's pretty good. Something not so good. Okay, yeah, part of it. All of this is a growing process, and the wife is called upon by the Lord to demonstrate the, I don't want to say greater, but the evident position that Jesus took in humbling himself and becoming a servant. That doesn't mean the wife is a servant and has less value in the way that we look at things from an economic or socio-status point of view. It's simply that the wife supports the husband in decision-making. It does not mean everything as in everything like hot dogs and hamburgers. It's everything pertaining to righteousness and how the household is going. But if you have any wisdom at all, you understand, and that's really part of our next trivia question, how that the leadership of the church and the church and everybody works together as a unit. And that's how it's supposed to be. I'm not apologizing for anything, and I'm not going to backtrack on anything. Wives should make the conscious decision to be yielded to their husband. But it is a decision she must make. It is a decision that is in her hands. There is no superiority. There is no requirement for the husband to demand submission, ever. And it's something that is a position before the Lord. And that's it. And if you can't figure out why everything is not perfect on this planet, just look at how the church submits to Jesus, and you go, oh, okay. You get that? Now, that's all for the wife. Don't kid yourself. In the next section, who am I going after? The husband. Why? Because Paul is not trying to sit there and isolate people. He's like, look, there is a lot of stuff going on that the world is nutsy cuckoo about, and they do really dumb things, and their evaluation of what's fair and what's right and what's true is polluted by sin. In their minds, I'm just going to say this because it just has to be said. In their minds, there is justification when things go bad in society for breaking into buildings and stealing other people's property that has nothing to do with anything in the world. In the press's mind, that's right. It's like, well, you people are nuts. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we want to just follow the Lord's teaching and do what he says and follow his way and walk in his wisdom. You know, you would think that the creator of humanity might, just bear with me, might have a better handle on how humanity should go. I don't know. Just a guess. Just a thought. Call me nutsy. Or cuckoo. Okay. All right. All right. When we get back, we're going to deal with the husbands. Let me answer that question, by the way. What was the time of prayer that Peter and John went up to pray in the temple in Acts chapter 3? It was 3 o'clock. And you'd say about 3 o'clock, but it's our 3 o'clock. That was the time of prayer. We got another trivia question coming right after that, and we're going to deal with the men side of things because we're running from nothing. Bible doesn't break for viruses. Just that simple. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes. It's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to let you know that you are able to reach out to us by texting either 214-210-8483. You can also call us at 972-445-0770. I don't want anybody to think that if they call, we're going to bite you. I don't think we're going to. Were you able? Are you done biting the phone? We're all done with the phone.
I'm done. I promise.
Okay.
I won't do it again.
All right.
Poor Tiara. I just pulled her in on that. She's probably like going, "Oy vey, what are you doing, Dave?"
So, bottom line, here's the next trivia question: Who chose the seven people to administer the food? Remember, there was a big dust up in the church in the earlier days. And there were seven people that were chosen to be over the administration of the food because the apostles were like, we're too busy. So who chose them? Just that simple. If you know the answer, you can call in to 972-445-0770, or you can text to 214-210-8483. All right. We're covering everything. Here's the tough stuff. I know people are like going, no, I don't know if I want to hear this. I can't help you. This is what the text is. I didn't make it up. Oh, by the way, before we get to that, let me remind you, hemustincrease.org is the website. You want to check stuff out. I'm putting up a sinner's prayer up there later today, which is a kind of an easy way if you want to lead somebody into the Lord and making a decision for Jesus Christ. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain and wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. So we talked about general submission in the very first segment, right? Then we talked about the fact that we're supposed to yield to one another, submit to one another. Then we talked about the wives making their decision to surrender, to yield, to submit to their husbands. Yes, the word submit, it's not some evil word. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And that's a decision that the wife has to make, and the husband is not given authority anywhere to say to the wife, submit to me, you will listen to what I say. That doesn't even exist. People that say that are off a few bricks.
That's a nice way to say that.
Okay, now we're talking about the husband part. And here's what it says for the husband. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Fine. How did Christ love the church? Well, first, Jesus was the one that acted towards us first, and not he moved towards us. We didn't move towards him first, which means that the husband needs to initiate how this relationship moves in the right spirit. Second, Jesus, get this, died for the church. So if you're a husband, your call from Scripture is straightforward. You know what it is? Lay down your life for your wife. There you go. You can come up with all the theologies you want. You can come up with all the structures. People tried to use anatomy to defend. Here's what Jesus did. He died for the church. If my wife believes that she is so important to me that I would lay down my life for her, and she knows that my devotion and commitment is to her, and she's aware that my desire is to care for her and to do good to her and to bless her and to have her best interests in mind all the time, I'm just going to ask you this straight question. What won't she do for me as a husband? If she felt like my life is wrapped up in being a blessing for her life, does that not then produce her response to me? And does that not then put me in a position for her to just give all that she can? We have these dumb games that we play with one another. We're like this. For a while, we had this one game where if you said something bad about yourself three times, you got a strike each time. And then if you got the third strike, then there was a prize the other person got. So we did that. That was hilarious. Now we just try to outgive one another. You think that's bad? It's the greatest thing ever. I try and do what I can to give to her. I'll leave her notes. It's the same thing that we did when we were first together. It's the same thing, and that's the one thing that I would say about husbands that they do a really poor job of, is they spend all this time trying to win their wife. They win their wife. They get the opportunity to be in marriage, to be in union, and then they stop writing notes. They stop bringing flowers. They stop doing the romantic things because they think they've already done it, and then TV promotes that, and movies promote that, and the internet promotes. Oh, you don't got to do that anymore. You're married. It's like that's the most ridiculous thing ever. Whatever you did to win the person is the very thing you need to continue to do all the way through your relationship if you want that relationship to be fresh all the way through, period. You don't have to be a rocket science to look at Scripture and know that's true. Just go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and you see Jesus said, remember how it used to be, repent, and do the things you did at first. Well, for husbands that are lacking in that, remember how you used to treat your wife, be sorry that you're not doing that, and do it again. And if that means leaving notes on windshields, that's what it means. And you know how long it takes to leave a note? 20 seconds. I have gone into the room, I'm just telling you right now, don't do this perfectly, don't get the wrong idea, but when I do it, I nail it. And so what I do is I go in and I take a sheet of paper and I write, I heart you, and I do that on four sheets of paper and I throw one in the fridge, I throw one in the microwave. I don't throw one in the oven because I don't know if she's turning the oven on. Because I don't know if she's turning the oven on, they could just burn up. But I put them in like different spots. Why? Well, it takes me a minute. Now you know how much goodwill that buys me? Come on. I'm just being honest. It's like she knows, and then she leaves me notes. The other day, I opened my coffee cup, and there was a note in there. Because she knows I look in the cup before. It's pretty funny. So the idea is for the husbands to have this idea. Who loved first? Okay, I'll just tell you. Jesus loved the church first. Okay, husband, you love first. That's how it goes. And how deep is that love? To the level of laying down your life, doing everything. Everything Jesus did was for the blessing and the bestness of the church. That's how you're supposed to live with your wife. And when it talks about your own body, it's talking about the self, not necessarily the outward flesh. It's not talking about vanity and guys like this. That's not what it means. But a man who is healthy in God manifests his love for his wife the way that God has manifested his love for the church. And if that's taking place, then the wife is like, yeah, okay, this guy's with me. We're together in this journey. He's for me. We're going to do this together. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's very simple for husbands and wives to be equal schmoes. That's the Three Stooges factor. Not mo, schmo. Here's the bottom line. It's easy to be a schmo, isn't it? You can be kind of a jerk at times and selfish, and everybody does it, and that's what you, forgiveness and so on and so forth. And I will say this, just to add this, because the last section, that's the toughest section. You're going to hate me after that section. But I will say this, the people that are entitled to the highest level of forgiveness in your life are those that are closest to you. But in the church, the people that usually receive the least amount of forgiveness are the people closest to you. And that's a big mistake. If God has extended millions and millions of dollars of moral debt for you to be forgiving, the first person that you should be forgiving is your spouse, always. And they are entitled to that forgiveness and for you to operate. Just because you have a higher expectation for them does not give you the privilege to lack extending grace, mercy, and forgiveness to them. Doesn't work that way. If you can't give forgiveness to those closest to you, and you can only give it to a stranger who cuts you off on the road, there's something much deeper going on and much more problematic. I'm just being straightforward with you. So from the point of view of how a husband loves the wife, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If the husband's pride and reputation and worldly respect are more important than taking care of the wife, the husband is in sin. You don't have to like it. Doesn't matter. Because that's what the Christian husband is called to. You see, if you really look at this as the unit that it is, if the husband will love the wife and the wife will love the husband, if the husband will sacrifice and love the wife and the wife will honor and respect the husband, it's this perfect harmony. Don't tell me guys don't want respect. It's absurd. Of course they do. But they want that from the person closest to them. Well, you want your wife to respect you? Treat her in such a way as for that to be simplistic for her to give it to you. And creating your own little kingdom on God's planet is vanity. And it should be a unit of husband and wife together. The thing I'm going to tell you next, many, many people are going to hear it and they're going to disagree with me. I don't care. I mean, you got to make your right decision before the Lord. That's what you're called to. However, I find it funny because everybody goes, well, I want to go to a church where they just teach scripture. Well, everybody's just teaching scripture. It just depends on the viewpoint you have of that scripture because many things have an emphasis. And so here, I'm just telling you, this is my point of view. Maybe you'll utilize it. Maybe it'll help your relationship. Maybe you won't. It's not up to me. It's up to you. I can't command you to respond to this. It wouldn't help if I did. You as a husband and you as a wife need to take on your positions and roles, take them seriously, and do them before the Lord because that's what the Lord asks us to do. So we ought to do that. When we come back, I hope you love me after that. I will tell you the answer. Now, this is not a trick question, but it's an interesting question. The answer is the people, the disciples, the brethren chose the seven, but the apostles prayed their blessing over them. So the people chose, but the apostles gave the approval. That's the answer to the trivia question. Pretty sneaky, huh? Yeah, I'm a little sneaky sometimes. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. and check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
And if you can't shout,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That intro song right there, this is just for a listener out there I had a chance to meet with yesterday, John. That is from Ishmael United, John, back in like 82, 83, just a classic band. We had a chance to talk a little bit yesterday about Christian music. It was a lot of fun. Let's see. If you want to reach out to us, you can at 214-210-8483. That's our text. Our phone call, or the phone here, is 972-445-0770. You know, I can talk. I think I can talk. 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the phone call to call into the station. The last trivia question I will ask for the day. What did the believers do in Acts chapter 4? Listen to me. In Acts chapter 4, I'm giving you the location. Acts chapter 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did the believers do after they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4? Okay, that's your caveat. 214-210-8483. If you're going to text, 972-445-0770 for the phone. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org is the email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's get into our last segment. Just remember, you have to love me because you're supposed to love your neighbor, you're supposed to love your enemy, and you're supposed to love your brothers. So somewhere between enemy, brother, and neighbor, I'm going to fit in there somewhere. You got to love me. You don't have to always listen to the show, but you got to love me. So we talked about submission in general as the general principle, Christian principle, in regards to yielding to one another and understanding that Jesus Christ demonstrated this principle, especially for us who don't get it. When he became a man, it was the ultimate in surrender. It was the ultimate in yielding, and yet he did that, even to the point where he washed his disciples' feet. That tells you the level of service that God requires from believers. Number two, we talked about wives and their requirement of Scripture to yield to their husband as Christ, as the church yields to Christ. Also, the understanding that the husband's not given permission to tell the wife to submit, but the wife has to make an individual daily decision to obey the Lord or not. And before the Lord, the wife will have that responsibility. And there's no escaping that. And then we talked about the husbands. The husband has to love the wife like Christ loved the church. And what did Jesus do? He gave himself up for it. He died for the church. If your wife knows you as a husband would swim through glass to make sure she is well, she will treat you like a prince. It's this part that nobody's going to like. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. Let's take it from there. We are members of his body. Okay, cool. Verse 31, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. On a recap note, sacrificial love for the wife is the call for the husband and is the initiating call because Jesus initiated his love for the church. The husband needs to initiate this. Second, the wife is to honor and respect the husband, something the husband longs for within his system, but not the husband shouldn't long from it from a worldly point of view because worldly acknowledgement is dumb. Okay. See that big theological term right there? Dumb. Because the world hates God, and being a friend of the world is an enemy, being an enemy with God. So just be careful there, okay? All right, that's that. Now let's get back to this. Remember the trivia question? I'm doing this just for Eric. The trivia question is straightforward. In Acts 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they do after they were filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, that's your one and only. Here we go. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. I got a message for you. The bond between the husband and the wife is greater than the bond that should exist between the parent and the child. You don't have to like it. Not my job to make you like it. It's quite obvious when the scripture is quoting and it says, the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That there is a priority in the new family unit from the old family unit. The husband and the wife get together. They have a child. Let's say they have a son. His name is David. David then finds the love of his life, Noel, and David unites with Noel. David's mom and dad do not have the same priority as David and Noel have. I don't care what tradition. I don't care who's saying the word genealogy 1,000 times. This scripture is pretty much impossible to remove. There is a priority in the new family unit. I have told all of my kids the same thing. I will never stop being your dad. I will never stop giving my insight or my input, but your primary responsibility is you and your family, and you make the best decisions you can for you and your family, regardless of my input. Because that's your priority. You don't have to like it, but that's what it is. You see, Christianity introduced kind of a revolutionary approach to marriage in a certain sense of equalization because wives and husbands are supposed to be the foundation of the institution of Christianity. They're actually, a husband and wife are the first church. See, all those little marriages, those are churches. You just don't know that yet. They're little mini churches, right? And Christianity is the first faith, by the way, that honored women as equal partners. The woman is not less than a man. Okay, that idea is just absurdity. A man and a woman are equal. Their positions are different. But it's not the equal rights that the Equal Rights Amendment tried to create because there's no rights for anybody. As a Christian, you forfeit your rights because you yield to God and you surrender them and you become a servant for God because he saved you. So all of your rights, see, this is the thing that kind of drives me a little bit batty. And that is, you know, it's like, well, we have rights. It's like, what, as a Christian? I think Jesus had rights as the Son of God at any point to stop the crucifixion. But he chose to suffer to bring glory to the Father. If he didn't suffer, you wouldn't be saved. You're telling me that glory or that suffering can bring about glory for God? Yes. Have you never read Isaiah 38? How Hezekiah said, the stuff I went through, that was a good thing for me. That discipline, that hard time, that awful thing, that was good for me. It made me appreciate you that much more. You not read that? You have to have read it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the family unit that God establishes is for the husband and the wife in the new family. And in regards to rights, it's not about pulling rank or rights over one another. It's about surrendering and yielding to one another and being more like Jesus with one another. That's what it's about. This is not about, you know, this person's better than this person. This person's better than this person. Don't you remember who Jesus said was the biggest giver? It wasn't the one that gave the most money, but the woman that gave all that she had. She's poor. She's, you know, there's nothing fantastic going on there, except when she gets to heaven, her house is going to be bigger than most people's. That's pretty good. And so the idea is for us to walk this walk in a way that honors Jesus Christ. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, and husband and wives unto themselves as separated from the parents, and next week as separated from the children too. You don't like that? Not my problem. I didn't write it. All I'm doing is sharing with you what's in the book. So it says this, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's the priority. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. There is a testimony in a husband and wife who are Christian. There is a testimony to the church in Jesus Christ by that husband and wife who are Christians. There's a similar testimony to the world. However, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself. The wife must respect her husband. You each have positions. You each have responsibilities. Fulfill your responsibilities. Fulfill your positions. Do the things that God has called you to do. And honor him in the process. After all, if the Lord asks you to do something, you would say yes, right? Okay. I mean, I think that pretty much wraps that, right? Okay. All right, just to close that out on that very last thing, what did the believers do in Acts 4? Once they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 4, they spoke the word of God boldly. Oh, that might be preached from the timbers. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.